Hi, today's March 27th, 2022. I'm Todd at Goss Award, my good John Westfall. Well, John Westfall is good. Good friend John Westfall. And our other good friends in alphabetical order by surname, Jack Cook, Stephen Hughes, and Don Sorcinelli. And today, although I never had the privilege of being part of this august group, I wanted to invite some of the folks that were involved in the old Boston Pocket PC Users Group, which I very much envied because we, you know, and I actually tried to create a users group here, but it, and we met a few times, and T-Mobile is nice enough to let me use their conference room and things like that, but it never got the traction that you guys get. So I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. And I also want to note that this is the first time we've had Steve on since December 2016. So it is in part getting back in touch with old friends, you know, which we've been doing since early 2021. And so it's been really fun to get in touch with old friends. But anyway, I want to rant a little bit before I ask them more about the Pocket PC Users or Boston Pocket PC Users. So speaking of old things, I took out my old Dell Inspiron 15 5500 notebook, which I think was made around 2015. And I made the mistake several years ago of trying to install its a Dell recommended third party facial recognition login, because, you know, it doesn't support Windows Hello, right? It's too old. And it behaved like what some people, including me, call malware. I mean, it was just a pig on the system. First, it doesn't work. And second, it causes the system to slow down tremendously, and it wouldn't let my password work. I was finally able to go into safe mode and I think set it up so I could log in with a PIN. So after years and years of neglect, I finally took it out, plugged it in. Still battery still had a charge in it, which surprised me. And I did a Windows 10 refresh. Of course, it doesn't run Windows 11. Nothing I have runs Windows 11. Not a single PC I have is Windows 11 compatible. And some of them are only like 2 years old. Anyway, it took like 5-6 hours to refresh. This was not a Chromebook, you know, power wash. It was terrible. It was a little bit more responsive. It got rid of that awful facial recognition software. But the one thing I wanted to note was, and this is, I guess it's before Apple Watch, I remember now why I stopped using it, aside from the, you know, the whole malware facial recognition thing. If you are like me and you are a sloppy typist, and sometimes you rest your wrist near the edge of your notebook instead of, you know, holding it up like a good, you know, your wrist above the surface like a good typist is supposed to, it will turn off the notebook. Not, it won't sleep it. It will turn it off.
That's a feature.
Yeah.
So in order to use the notebook, if you're a sloppy typer like me, like I said, I do rest my wrist. If you are a sloppy typer like me, you have to take off any magnetic band smartwatches you might have. And I've got two, one on each wrist. I've got a Fitbit and Apple Watch. So I am double deadly.
Dell called and said it's your fault because you're a sloppy typist.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like the old Steve Jobs antenna problem, right?
That this was their way of getting you to be a better typist. It's exercise.
Keep your wrists above the surface.
They're using positive punishment. Every single time you rest your wrists, they'll just shut down the computer until you get back on track. They're committed to you, buddy.
We're just hunting peck with your beak.
You know, and I have a, you know, at work I have a dedicated local Dell account rep, and I'm going to go tell him this story because I think he's a good sport. I think he'll be amused by it. Any rate, getting back to what we're talking about. So, any rate, Stephen Hughes, 2016.
Is it that long?
It's not as bad as some other people, by the way. You know, Elio. Elio and Arnie, we didn't speak, you know, like this, like real time speak in over 10 years before we did our
decade, you know. A deck of me. Yeah.
I think it has been a while because based on Steve's shirt, which the listeners can't see, I think he's actually retired and moved to Boca Raton.
No, I'm closer to Todd, farther away from Don Jack. Yeah, I'm on the West Coast now.
I didn't know that.
California.
Yeah, wow. California. I didn't know that. And you do have a very flowery West Coast kind of shirt on for our fives of listeners.
Thank you.
By the way, with the five of us here, we might outnumber the number of listeners, but we'll see. We'll hope more people tune in for this.
Look out, listener. We're coming for you.
Yeah. So we are spread out across four time zones now instead of three, because I thought you were still on the East Coast. I didn't realize you had moved.
Yeah, so I'm like a plus you, I think, and minus three them. So
yeah, you're right. We are, yeah, because you guys are in daylight savings and we never switch, you are plus three. And I guess if the House agrees with Senate, you'll always be three hours away from me there, Steve. So how have you been? I mean, I've spoken to Jack and Don pretty recently, and I don't really care how they're. No, I'm kidding. Well, it's been 6 years, Steve. Aside from the fact I didn't know you moved to California, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I guess it was a move from work. My wife and I joked that we moved 3,000 miles and we're from home. So that was a great decision on our part. But we're enjoying it out here. The weather's great. People we've been able to engage with are great. So nice. Things are starting to open back up again. I'm looking forward to doing that again. Keeping busy with work and a bunch of stuff I do on the side now is doing a lot of cybersecurity work for a lot of healthcare organizations, HISACs and working with CISA, which is like, if you don't know, they're one of the largest organizations dealing with cybersecurity under a division of Homeland Security.
Interesting. And that's without being too noisy, too nosy, if I can split California into north and south, are you in the north part or the south part?
I'm in NorCal.
Okay.
So I'm based right outside of Sacramento, like 15, 20 minutes outside of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I did meet up with Dave Matson, too, another former Microsoft MVP, lives right in Sacramento.
Nice. So it's really nice to hear from you. And also, since I haven't seen you in 6 years, I notice you've become kind of gray, just like me.
Kind of, yeah. Yep, that's what happened.
I know the feeling, man. It's like one day it's like, what's happening in my head up there?
Yeah, I need glasses now to read. I feel like Jack now.
Like all of us. I'm looking at this and in fact, I should do a screenshot.
Yeah.
We all are wearing glasses. You know, we've hit that age, dude. I mean, you know, well, I hit that age many years ago. But it's great to hear from you. Like I said, last time we talked, December 2016, podcast 187. Holy cow. You know, that's over 200 podcasts.
Doesn't seem that far ago, does it?
No.
That was like before a lot of stuff happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So, John has some questions. Oh, I want to talk to you about the Boston PC Users Group, Pocket PC Users Group. But John has a couple of questions for all of you that, you know, you put in and, you know.
I was sort of thinking, you know, we're always talking about new things and what we find interesting and all that. And I thought, well, it might be interesting to ask what you guys have found that you think are the biggest wins over the last year. So what you've liked or what you haven't. So hardware, I thought we'd start with, and then maybe software, and then best tech accessory you've discovered. I know I always learn something, and Todd accuses me of giving him things to buy whenever we have these conversations. So
John is a horrible human.
We can just kind of go around, and what's the best piece of hardware you've used in the past year? Any kind of device.
Mine's not really cordless. We just got an electric car. We released a Kia Niro, and now with the gas prices the way they are, I think it was a good choice.
How many miles can you go at a time?
At a time, well, it depends on how you're driving and where you're driving. Like if you're on a highway, of course you're gonna get less. What's it called? Like kilowatts per mile. But basically, we get like the car's rated at like 238, but when you look at it, it's like 286. So they overestimated it. Yeah, and it's a nice deal too because we did it through a lease and we're paying I think like 286 a month, and then the state of California gives you another $2,000 on top of that. Plus, you get the $7,500 rebate gets taken off the total price, why the price is so low. So with that $2,000, you're basically paying for like basically like a 2 year and 3 month lease for 3 years. So that's not bad. And we just basically plug into the house, so We don't have to go anywhere else. And you pay a decreased rate by charging overnight, and we barely charge it like once a week. We keep it between that standard 20% to 80% charge range, so what you kind of want to do with all your devices too. I wish you could do that on a phone.
Yeah.
You could set the max to charge at 80%. That would be great because you extend the life of your battery.
Did you install one of those fast chargers, or you just plug it into 110?
Yep. So it's a standard 240 NEMA connector. We're basically supposed to supply 40 amps, but it steps down to 32 because you lose a bit through the way the connection is. And you can boost all the way up to 50 as well if you want, and you get 48. But we didn't see there was no benefit of it because the car can't charge over that. And not many cars can unless you get one of the newer cars like the Kia EV6 or the Hyundai Ioniq 5.
Yeah, and then your mileage, if you will, your KW mileage, I guess you would call it, is really great because you know, an old friend of mine got one of the early Nissan Leafs about 10, 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And everybody says, hey, I'm going to pick up. On a good day. On a good day on a flat surface, you know, with the wind behind you. But I remember he said, hey, let's all go out to breakfast, you know, in my Leaf. You know, we'll squeeze in and we'll go somewhere, right? And then we go, okay, great. You know, where are we going? He says, wait a minute, I got to do some calculations. Let's see. I've got about 90 to 100 miles on a charge. So I can go about this far, you know. If I pick all you guys up. And so it was, you know, he's a professor of computer science, so he had the math down. But it did take some calculations.
Yeah,
to
you get
it
huge
out.
Range anxiety.
Yeah. Well, that sounds great. Continue on, John, with your top 10 questions.
Yeah. So, Jack, what's the best hardware that you've used in the past year?
Oh, geez. I'm still living in the dark ages. I haven't got anything new in 3 years. I guess it's because I'm retired and I'm conserving money. But everything's working. My Note 9, you know, it's old. It's time for a new one, but it still works, and I'm not gonna get rid of it. Like, you know, if Microsoft was still into phones, I'm probably sure that I would continue. Mm-hmm. You know, to get a new one every time they came out, but it's not necessary. It really isn't, and I'm really happy. Interestingly enough, my Surface Book 2, I've had for since it came out, and it still works perfectly. I mean, they keep giving us the updates, and it works. In my old Surface, which is a much smaller one, which is older. It's probably 5 years old. I only use it if I'm going someplace, but sometimes I want to turn on that extra device, you know, when I'm here. But I mean, it still works fine. And of course, my old Samsung Slate, I just put Windows 11 on it.
Wait a minute. The Samsung Slate, is that the one you bought in Bellevue?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How do you put Windows 11 on that thing?
Well,
you cheated.
You can't work around.
There's a special trick. And I was a little concerned. I said, you know, but, you know, if it doesn't work, then I'm ready to chicane it because I've had it for a long, long time. Well, let me tell you, it works. I know it's on its last legs, but I can do what I want to do. I can use it to get downstairs and do Facebook or check my email or whatever. To do the important stuff, I always get on my big computer. So,
To give some context, the reason I know where Jack bought it is because I was with him when he bought it.
That's right.
It was the last time we saw each other in person at the MVP Summit.
Microsoft Store.
And it was a Bellevue Microsoft Store, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And this was like 2010. I mean, it was a while back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was quite a while ago. And it was the time when Steve Ballmer came out carrying his Slate, and he holds it up in the air and says, I want you to look at what I have. This is the best damn thing I've ever got. And it was my Samsung Series 7 Slate. So it works well. If I thought I could add more memory to it, it would make it better, but it works fine.
Well, Jack, I got to say, you got your money's worth out of that thing. I mean, if you advertise over 12 years or whatever it's been.
Yeah,
no question about it. No question about it. And in fact, this little my other Surface, the smaller Surface, was not capable of getting Windows 11, and I used a little trick, and it works fine. Works just beyond belief. Beyond
works better
belief.
Than 7, 8, 10, right?
Yeah, really. It's just amazing how well it works. It just fools the computer to think that it's installing Windows 10. Well, it's not installing Windows 10. And as soon as it reboots, there's Windows 11, and everything works. Updates work.
Wait, updates? I thought updates didn't work on these illegal transplants.
I'm getting updates. Everything works fine.
Interesting.
So, you know, it saved me. You know, it probably saved me $4,000.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I got it.
They didn't need to buy a new machine.
Yeah, some older hardware will have issues with Wi-Fi drivers, but those are like stuff from like 2004, 5, or 6, around that range. But I do have I have an Inspiron 15.2 in Windows 11 as well that I've upgraded, and that came out from like Windows 2000, I think it was, when it was Shift, so that one works great. It's like the 2002.
Yeah. Well, I call Jack's old machine and raise him running a Windows 11 on Parallels for the Chromebook, the beta, yeah. I did the registry change, and I'm actually getting insiders builds, Windows 11 insiders builds, on a VM running on a Chromebook. So and it runs pretty well.
hey Don, so Parallels on the Chromebook, that's only for Enterprise, Google OS.
Correct.
Enterprise, right? Okay, got it. Correct. So you know, little old me with my consumer can't do it without cheating.
Right. Right, you do have to have a Workspaces domain, and the Chromebook has to be, you have to be paying for the annual licensing for the Chromebook to be enrolled in the domain, and then you can use that. So,
I just want to comment to Jack, you know, about money saving retirement. Not that I'm counting, but I'm 270 days away from retirement, and so I've already thinking like that, like, do I really need this? Do I really, really need this? No, I don't really, really need this.
Do I need two watches?
I'm going to have to work
exactly.
A lot
harder. Do I need a fifth iPad Pro?
Get up to buy things.
All right. Jack's holding up his slate.
Samsung slate.
With Windows 11 on it. Awesome.
Wow.
It still works.
All right, Don. What's up with what's yours on John's list?
You know, to be honest, it's been a quiet year hardware-wise for me in terms of personal. I've had the opportunity. One thing that has impressed me is the latest batch of MacBook Pros, the M1 chips. My God, those things are fast. I've been working with a lot of customers who've been purchasing them, and I do a lot of work with them to get them provisioned for day-to-day use. And man, those things are just amazing when you consider they're cool, the battery life on them, and the fact that they're so damn fast. The hardware is impressive, I got to say.
You know, the other thing is I got the very first MacBook Air. I guess it was a MacBook Air M1 when it first came out. So I've got the first gen, and it's still fine. I have no desire to replace it. But the thing that amazes me, you know, having bought the Windows RT, Surface RT back then, is Apple's ability to switch processors, and this is the second time they've switched, and stuff still runs, whereas nothing ran on the Surface RT. I mean, nothing ran on it. You know, I mean, Explorer barely ran on it, and Microsoft wrote it.
Well, I will tell you from an IT perspective, there's still some fun things with those M1s when you're trying to provision them for device management and the likes,
Oh, that's interesting.
But I fully expect... Like I said, it's like everything else. They're those issues. I'm sure they'll iron them out in a release soon enough. But yeah, I've had some fun doing installing device management agents on an M1, especially if I'm trying to do work remotely with end users and trying to teach novice end users how to go into recovery mode, because that's where they managed to stick the startup utility for security on the M1s into recovery mode. People think, why are you going to wipe my machine? No. I think that was the most easily available option. So that's where they stuck it. But they are, like I said, it's a nice piece of hardware.
And you know, impressed. having being in government, I tend to work with the older generation of users, and they're pretty much all Windows. And I was about to ask you about your Mac use, but then I remembered you actually answered my question a couple of months ago. You said a lot of the millennials, especially, the newer generation, are asking for Macs when they come to work now.
Well, you know, here in the Boston area, and Steve can remember, it's gotten 10 times more insane with startups. And I do a lot of work with startups, and I will tell you, because of the heavy recruitment, the reason why there's so many startups in our area is because of all the colleges. And there are a number of companies who their philosophy is to make Macs available, if for nothing else, as a recruiting tool to say, if you want, you can use one of these.
Mm.
So
I think of the world right now, though, is really device agnostic right now. So you can use anything and still get work done, which is nice about the cloud.
Yeah, I was just about to say the beauty of it is I work with certain verticals where they give people Macs, but there's always an app or two that only runs on a Windows box, and then it's AWS with workspaces or Horizon or whatever cloud virtualization you want, you know, Windows Virtual Desktop, all of that. It's okay, make that available to them for that one app when they need it every once in a while.
You know, and I got to say, I'm waiting for Windows 365 to appear in the government tenant. It won't be here until August, by the way. So while the people in the commercial world, what are you talking about? It's been out since last year. I'm still waiting.
State and local, it's slower. Yeah, because we're using it federal.
State and local. We talk to Microsoft every week, and they keep telling me it's still August.
Yeah, I can tell you, there are some times where you say, wow, how Microsoft actually made it easy. And it's as easy to provision, to purchase and provision for commercial and assign to a user a cloud PC as it is to assign an Office, a Microsoft 365 license to their account.
Yeah.
And go with it. And I've had to demo this to people who are just like, it can't be. What's going to break when we do that? Something's got to be wrong. And it's a thing of beauty, the simplicity in setting it up.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
I'm only going to be able to try it for a couple of months before I retire. We did get a demo of the admin workflow for Windows 365. Is that it? And, you know, with the fixed monthly recurring costs and the ability to scale up and down, I mean, you got to pay more if you do scale up.
Yeah, but, right.
You know, like I need, you know, so-and-so needs this for a month to do a video edit. It'd be like, sure, you know.
You got the right licensing and it rolls right in by itself. As it deploys, it enrolls an endpoint manager. It's there with its own category as a cloud PC. The old saying, brain dead simple. I got to give them credit. They really nailed that one.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's the demo, you know, because that's all I've seen. Unlike you, Steve. State and local government 10 is like, it's a slow boat to wherever, you know.
Yeah. You'll probably upgrade to Windows 12 by the time rolls around.
I have none of my PCs at work will upgrade either. Neither my notebook nor my desktop.
That's a good thing sometimes.
Yeah. And we haven't vetted it anyway.
2024 to Windows 10 and OS.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just make sure you
refresh the
build.
PCs by then. And it'll be somebody else's problem to refresh the PCs.
So, yes. You
know, I'll be past that. I have warned people that they need to refresh their PCs, though, because, you know, Windows 10 isn't going to be, like you said, it's only around for another couple of years supported. All right. John's next question. John?
Yeah, so the next one is we did hardware, software finds, apps or services or anything that you've gone, wow, that's helped my life in some way. I always found software more appealing than hardware, so forgive me if you're not as much of a geek as I am in that regard, but I'm looking for tips. Tell me about cool stuff you're doing.
Well, I haven't added very much new stuff, that's for sure, whether or not it be on my phone. In fact, on my phone, I'm slowly deleting apps that I installed at one time that were good, but I don't use them. On my PCs, I just believe in keeping them lean. I don't take and install stuff. I mean, I may try it, and if it doesn't do it, I don't want it. I'm a big TechSmith believer. I like their products. Snagit is getting better and better and better. I can't live without it. I mean, I use TechSmith Snagit every day, 5 to 10 times a day. And then I use Camtasia, I don't know, maybe once a week. So I'm not an expert on Camtasia, but Snagit is just, I couldn't live without it. They have a lot of great stuff, but that's the only software that I talk about, only because it's so good.
What are you using it for? What are you using the TechSmith stuff for, Jack?
Say again?
What are you using the TechSmith stuff? Are you doing a lot of documentation or?
Yeah, I still help a few people, so I do screenshots to, and then send it to them, and then I'll every once in a while I'll record just to run somebody through how to take them to do something. But it's just, screenshots and then editing them, it's critical in what I do every day, so every other day or whatever, however it works out. But I literally use it. I use Snagit every day. It's just an amazing program. If you've never tried it, it's worth trying. And you can do it for free. You can go to the TechSmith. You can do it to the text. Go to the TechSmith .com. Mm-hmm. Download whatever one you want to try. Mm-hmm. And I think you get it for 30 days.
Yes, it does say that. I'm looking at it right now.
In 30 days, you can make up your mind. But I'm telling you, I don't use anything else for doing screenshots or education or anything that I need to show people stuff. It is the absolute best. And their help, what they provide, is second to none. If you have a question and you can't find it, you send them a note and they'll get back to you. And they are just amazing. It's an amazing company. I give them all the kudos in the world. It's the absolute best.
Jack, what's the benefit over that instead of using just like Windows Shift S?
I'm sorry?
What's the benefit of using Snagit over doing Windows Shift S?
I just press.
That you find.
I just use print screen. Bam. It does it. And it also, and I have it set to open up.
I think it's the post editing that's the feature and functionality after the screenshot that's the differentiator.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much to the tool in terms of being able to highlight call outs. You know, now they even support GIFs you can do, or GIFs, depending on who you talk to. You know, you could actually take a series of screenshots and put them together. I mean, there's so much functionality. I agree. But it's the post, you know.
For example, too, just to follow up with what Don was saying, if you were on a web page and you wanted to capture the whole web page, you can do a scrolling shot. And it's just amazing. It really works well. It's worth trying. I hope the listeners, Todd, if they don't use it, go to TechSmith.com, mm-hmm. download it, and try it for 30 days. It's well worth the money. Well worth it, every penny. It's really not all that expensive.
Great. That's a good idea for a find. Stephen, Don, what are your software?
I did want to note
recently.
I
Todd's muted, but he thinks he isn't.
I did want to note one thing since Don mentioned GIF. I like to say GIF personally, but you know the creator of GIF just passed away this past week.
It's GIF.
And he said it's GIF. Yeah, Stephen.
There were two separate memorials for him as a result of this.
But he did just pass away at the age of 74. So you know.
Yeah. He was a big peanut butter eater. GIF peanut butter.
But he says GIF, so I will honor his memory and say GIF, despite my distaste for that pronunciation. So there you go. There you go. Okay, John, continue on, sir.
Yeah, so other software finds. Stephen, Don?
I think the general, what, you know, this is what we were talking about a little while ago. I mean, virtualization and the age of cloud virtualization has been amazing. The only thing I wait for is to see a more wide scale consumer version of it. And that may take quite a while, but I think more of it will be on the way. The other thing from a cloud perspective is we're so used to collaboration tools now that are in the business realm, and we think about the ones, and we're using a collaboration tool right now, as we all are sitting here talking to each other. But there's also how pervasive some of these have become for other uses, and their fact that they're basically free. I give a perfect example. I'm a team manager for a club soccer team. And, you know, in the past, communication was just email. And then you were having to talk about schedules, and you were emailing for schedules. And there's multiple sources of software that's available for free, never mind with prices associated with them, with all kinds of features you may or may not need. But we run off a free version that gives us the ability to communicate, gives us the ability to have calendaring. And there's so much out there right now in the cloud for collaboration, whether it's clubs or organizations. It's not just for personal. I mean, it's not just for corporate use anymore. Yeah. It's not about the enterprise. It's how we communicate. And I think that's even more the case in the last couple of years. I think it made it more common for people and made people a little bit more comfortable using some of these tools. But now it's like, my gosh, life is so much easier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. You know,
people learn the tricks from work that they can then use in their personal life.
Right. People, years ago when I started the podcast, people were just fascinated by the fact that I use Skype to do anything of, practical value. And in fact, there was a trivia in the company I worked at the time is, one of the things Todd does is he uses Skype like at least a couple times a week. And they found that like a fascinating piece of trivia. Nobody uses Skype anymore, of course, but but everything else, Zoom and Teams and whatever, WebEx.
I think the biggest problem is we've reached such a saturation point. It's what tool are you going to use for anything? You've got so many choices. And even again, on the free consumer side of things, it's like, let's get together online. You talk to a bunch of people, let's get together online. And there's 50 different suggestions for how you're going to do it.
Right.
It's worse than trying to decide where we're going to go eat dinner.
Right.
At this point.
Right. Right. And in fact, because Steve hadn't been on since the days when we did only use Skype. I was like, some other people had problems getting on Teams, by the way, Steve. That's why I was worried. Not because of your technical skills, because plenty of people with technical skills have problems getting on Teams.
Yep.
It's a great tool once you get on, but it's, getting on is the problem. So for a lot of people. So I was a little bit concerned. Because as I said earlier, I think Teams, despite being made by the same company that bought Skype, has a better codec. I mean, a way better codec. The sound quality is way better, in my opinion. But it's not as easy to use or get onto for many people. But it's funny, Don, because I was just thinking, going back to your Windows 365 thought, I think the reason Microsoft has only released it for enterprises is because if they released it for consumers, the Windows PC hardware manufacturers might hire mercenaries and send them to Redmond. because people, wait a minute, why am I spending $800 for a PC when I can buy a $300 Chromebook and have a quad core, 8 core, 32 gigabyte, cloud PC?
I think the only way it becomes consumer, at least in the shorter term, is if the pricing model makes it cost prohibitive for a consumer versus purchasing hardware. Because you're right, it's ridiculously attractive, as an option to somebody. As long as you've got network connectivity and decent network connectivity, then you're good to go.
And unlike Jack and me, who we never throw away our PCs and we try to run to the ground. I booted up a 2015 PC yesterday to update it. You know, unlike Jack and me, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to replace my PC every 3 years anyway. So if I pay, you know, $28 a month, you know, for a much higher end PC than I could afford physically, maybe it's worth it. It's like leasing a car, right, Steve?
Yeah, we could do the Apple subscription plan when that comes out for PCs.
Might be interesting. That might be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be like the days when smartphones were subsidized. Except no subsidy, but similar idea.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like Apple's way, the subscription plan is Apple's way to get around the right to repair. So if you don't own the device, you can't repair it. And you can't run your own software on it, too. So people who like to backdoor into it and use their own software, you don't own the device, you can't do that. So I think that's what they're doing.
Interesting. Interesting thought. Yeah.
Let me give you my software. I'll give you a bonus one too for you, Todd. So the one I recommend right now that I've been trying out is a really good app. It's called Penbook. It runs both on Windows, so Jack can use it on his new tablet, take notes on it. You have basically, if you're into like a bullet journaling or doing any type of journaling, it incorporates with your calendar as well too. So it'll update your calendar invites into it, so you can actually, because as you know, when you take notes, if you write it down, you tend to retain it more than if you type it out. There's a ton of studies done on that. So great application, Penbook. It was like, I think, the Windows App Creator, one of the finalists for Windows. And it's also available on iPad, which works great for you, Todd, with your new Apple Pencil and iPad that you just got. And I'll give you the bonus app I'll give is Ultimate Guitars Tabs. So if you have any guitars that you purchased during pandemic and you haven't touched in a while, this is a great way to actually look up tabs for both piano, drums, guitar, ukuleles, anything of music that you like, and you learn how to play it. It's awesome. They have videos that go along with it as well.
Is that ultimate-guitar.com? Or is that a
It's from their app, and it's called Tabs. It's generally what they rebranded it as.
Oh, okay. Okay, I will go look for that. Because during the pandemic, I did buy two guitars and one guitar lele, which is like a ukulele-sized guitar.
Yep.
So, yes, I was one of those people.
And this is a great way to do it. So if you pick a song that you hear in the radio, if you like, it's a great way you can learn how to do it. And it's simple. I mean, I wish I had tabs when I was teaching myself to play guitar. So it's a great way to do it. And now with YouTube videos out there, it makes it even easier. And they integrate those YouTube videos in with the app, which is nice.
Nice. And Penbook for Windows, that's user.camp/app/penbook-
Yep, user.camp.
Win?
Yeah, that's one. And they also on iOS as well.
Alrighty, I put that link in our show notes so I don't forget it. Okay. And John's last question before we finally get to talk about Boston Pocket PC Users Group. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, we can do this one quick. You know, it was just any kind of tech accessory. You know, I remember in the past, this is where I've lost a lot of money from you guys, is hearing about cool things that I've, you know, $10, $15 Amazon finds or anything else that has been useful to you.
That's a tough one. I'll
go first.
Yeah.
Okay, I bought a 43-inch display. I mean, that's my best tech line. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm actually hooking up you can hook up your phone up to it through USB-C, which is great, or a USB-C device, either your Mac PC or your Chromebook, and it's awesome. I mean, it really is. It's like one of the best things to have. I mean, it's like, and it's a Dell. I purchased it for work at home, and it's way cheaper than any of the Apple displays that are out there that are like half its size. And I used to have multiple displays, 27-inch monitors, like three of them plus the laptop screen. So I had a lot going on. Now I just basically have one in portrait mode for scrolling documents. And now having this high resolution monitor has just made a world of difference. It really has. And especially with aging eyesight, you can zoom in and out and stuff really easily. And it's nice having a non-glare matte finish.
Did you say it was 43 inches?
Yeah, it's a Dell 43-inch.
Is it flat or curved?
It's like a TV.
Is it flat?
It's flat. My wife has a curved one, and I just thought the real estate I lost on it, because I do a lot of vertical scrolling through like doc reviews and as well as coding, stuff like that. So having the extra display, it makes a huge difference. It really does. I never thought it was going to, but not seeing those bezels in between, too, you're just a lot more productive.
Yeah. Yeah, I found that years ago that I couldn't deal with bezels. And it's so weird, but just a tiny yeah. little bit of unusable space, it just throws your mind off. So,
wow, what a first world problem.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mentioned last week I've had these 27-inch cinema displays yep. that I've been using forever, yep. and they just refuse to die permanently.
Yeah.
Temporarily, they die every so often. So it's good to know. I'm definitely... will be at some point looking into one of those yeah. giant monitors.
By the way, Steve, just last week, John and I were talking about how unaffordable the new Apple Studio monitor, whatever the heck it's called, is. So how much does it cost? It costs more than all my PCs, you know, put together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho.
Yeah, and Dell always has deals that go on, too, so you can check back, like, Slick Deals or something like that, and you'll see deals going on over the website, too.
Well, so, after ragging on Dell, my Dell notebook, I will also tell my Dell rep about that. You love the 43-inch Dell, so.
Okay.
They'll even it out. Don?
Yeah, the only thing I think I could say is if for the folks that are Google Pixel phone owners, if you like some bells and whistles, the Pixel Stand is actually kind of a nice little add-on with the additional things you can do. It's nice that... can be for, in addition to the faster charging wirelessly, but I mean things you can do with it. It basically it recognizes and you can have it do photo display, you know, like you would do with a hub or something like that. You've also got special for wake up. They do what they call the daytime, where if you set an alarm, it starts brightening the screen, which can actually brighten a room as you get close to the alarm time. Things like that. So that's when you're looking at, okay, it's something that's a tool that can add a little functionality. Some of it's style wise, but some of it just nice too. You know, just the basics.
I'm trying to figure out which pixels it supports. It doesn't say on the
basically,
website.
The first gen definitely supported the 3 and up, and still supports. The second gen, I don't know that all the features are there for all the pixels back. The second gen also has a fan in it too.
Yeah.
Because you're doing the fast charging, it actually has a little fan, so it can keep the temperature down, which is kind of a nice little add-on.
Yeah, wow. It does say silent built-in fan keeps things cool. $80, by the way, for $80 US.
Yeah, and there's pretty much if you get the emails from the store, there's always things going on with discounts. Yeah.
I still have a Pixel. What do I have? A 4A? I think I have a 4A. And, you know, this is my year to upgrade my Pixel. But like I told Jack, since I'm retiring, I'm like, I don't know. I got to think about it. Next year is my year to upgrade my iPhone, too. So in 2023, because I've got the 12 Pro. And so, or is it this year? Wait, the 13 came out. When did the 13 come out, John? Last year?
Last year.
Oh, so it's actually, this is my year to upgrade my iPhone. Oh, this is horrible. horrible.
This is when Todd realized it was time to be depressed, that it was upgrade time.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, though. And in all seriousness, you know, I've been planning this for over 1,000 days. My countdown timer has been running since it was in four digits. And, you know, sometimes think, oh, man, I'm going to be really poor, but it's okay, you know. You know, I ran a very large project for the last 2 years. We just completed it in January. And we had three people involved with the project die. And it was like, it was really a kind of thought-provoking, you know, you know, and two of them were quite elderly, and I you know, you look at me, you know how old I am. I'm ready to retire, and these guys are older than me. And I thought, boy, you know, any doubts I had about retiring kind of disappeared when I thought about them. So, anyway, back to technology. Jack, you got anything? Any tech accessory that you've discovered the last year or two that you really liked? Something for your slate, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. No. You know, it's funny. I used to get everything, and then I know. You know, and I don't need to anymore. I mean, everything that I need, I pretty much have. The only thing that I got that's new that's pretty cool is a pair of heated gloves.
Yeah, well, I bought a USB rechargeable hand warmer. It's basically two little units, and you can separate them, and that changed my life this year immensely, because I could go out in the winter and walk and not freeze my fingers off. So yeah, sometimes it's the simplest things.
That's well, that's, you can charge that's your phone what I have too, right? That's what I have, John. It's two batteries for each glove. It'll last me all day, back and forth, you know, on and off. And in the real cold weather, I was still able to do my walks.
Yeah. Well, Jack, I got to tell you, not a lot of use for it here in Hawaii.
Or California.
Yeah, I bet. Even on the coldest days, you know.
Todd, if I were you, I'd get them and actually wear them outside with, like, just to, like, make people, like, do double takes.
No. I got to, as you guys know, I grew up in cold weather, right? You know, probably colder weather than you guys. And I've lived here for most of my life now. You know, we moved back here when I was 11. When I see people in 80 degree weather wearing a dark parka like, you know, coat with a hood. I mean, they're not wearing a hood usually. In an Aloha shirt, which is a thin material shirt, I feel sweaty just looking at them. You know, it's like, how did it not get a heat stroke? I do not get it. It's that can't be healthy, or you have some kind of blood circulation problem, you know, and you need to have that checked, like, right away.
As somebody who transplanted from South Florida, I have now become what I used to laugh at.
Oh?
When I lived in South Florida, the person who, while at 70 degrees, they're all throwing on sweatshirts, I'm going, could you turn on the AC?
Yeah.
Because 70 degrees to me is like, oh my gosh, that's it. It's the end.
Well, you know, in Alaska, I remember, like, I told John this story, probably you guys too. In Alaska, I remember my dad and I was a kid, my dad and I would go out in t-shirt and shorts, snow still on the ground. And we'd fire up the hibachi and, you know, cook some meat and stuff. And thought nothing of it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do that now, by the way. I'm pretty sure I couldn't do that now. I'm too acclimated to this weather. But I still feel uncomfortable when I see people dressing so warmly in 80 degree weather. That just... You're asking for, like, medically induced, you know, heat stroke. I mean, not medically, but a clothing induced heat stroke, you know. Okay. Now I want to ask you guys about the Boston Pocket PC User Group. As I said, I was very, very envious of your group. And when did it start? I think I learned about it before I met you guys. I think I was reading about it, you know, in various places. And, and then I met you guys. Oh my God, these are the guys, you know?
Yeah. Steve, it actually started before us.
Really?
Steve and I kind of inherited the group in, what was it, 2001, I think we kind of took over when we really started to take over. And by the way, Steve, I got a reminder on January 1st of this year that it was the 20th anniversary of the launch of the website. That was 20 years ago in January. Yeah, we launched in November 2001. We said, we'll put together a website, you know, for the group. We said for the user group, but also, maybe we'll mess around. Little did we know on that side what that would turn into. But yeah, we took it over, and it was actually two groups, user and developer.
Yep.
And it was... It was an experience. Todd, I think you were overly envious of our success. We were good at self-promotion, I guess.
we started when I think Pocket PC just was launched. I remember going down to New York City, meeting Steve Ballmer, and I think some of the MVPs that were down there as well, too. Then they had this, a tour for Pocket PC. They had, like, this bus that converted to a stadium. Dale Coffin was one of them. I think Jason was on a few of the tours as well, too. And then we just got involved with it through that. Because I was doing a lot of stuff before with the Palm Developer Users Group, too. They used to have a platform for that. And I used to do some design work on the side for Palm and IDEO for, like, the Palm 5 and stuff like that. It was, like, stuff I couldn't get out of until, after, like, NDAs were all signed and gone away and stuff like that. And they were kind of losing market share. And I just saw Pocket PC was a way to go. And Mike Massaro, which was think he was like the starter of the group. Yeah. He's now the CEO of Flywire, which is they just went public this 2021. So they're doing really well right now too, doing honorable payments. And we were asked to start it up and take over and present. And both Donna have like great way to communicate with people. We had great connections with the technology in the area. And we just kept bringing in people we knew to present on different things. So that was stuff on both sides. It was on the enterprise side as well as on the developer side, because that was like stuff we both dabbled into.
Yeah, I can remember when there was,
What happened? I think Microsoft Teams just put a timer on stuff at like 60 minutes.
It exceeded an hour in time. That's why.
You know, it didn't used to have an hour time limit. This must be relatively new because John and I have recorded for well over an hour with other guests.
Wow.
Yeah. I wonder if it's who starts the call if they have a premium Office 365 or not.
I don't. I have a premium account. I started a call, I think. I don't know. Premium? What do I have? I have the $100 a year plan, whatever that is.
Yeah. We've still got those. Our small business one. Yeah.
Yeah. But at any rate, we continue on and I will fix this later. Well, that's a great thing about digital audio, you know?
Yeah. It was funny because what I was starting to say was I can remember going out to Redmond and somebody saying, are you user focused? Are you end user focused or enterprise focused or developer focused? And and Steve and I going, yes. It was, we basically, because of where we came from, we covered all angles and as a result, we, that kept things lively. You know, like Steve was saying, we were lucky enough. It's, it's a great community. Here we had a lot of people who were willing to present a lot of friends that were made during that time here from guys that came and did. I mean, Steve, you remember Connected Bits with Dave Mitchell doing presentations.
And we met and the CEOs of Carbonite. What was the other one too? LinkedIn, but it was LogMeIn. Which is now
IntelliSync. Do you remember we had presentations by
IntelliSync?
Telerik as well.
Yep. Yeah.
Great developer tool set that I still use today, which is crazy.
Yeah. So it was good. And like I said, we had an interesting, anybody who's ever run a user group can tell you there's interesting personalities with as far as regulars, but I think it was a great cast of characters, ourselves included, during that time. And of course, Jack participated in it. The website side of things brought in Johan.
James Kendrick.
Oh, yeah.
James Kendrick. Yeah. James, before he went off to do his own thing, was with us for a while. It was a great experience. I mean, Steve, I still remember thinking about the fact that we were getting press credentials to go to CTIA and cover CTIA. And did that, went to Vegas one year and had fun with that. So, it was the combination, the user group, and then blossoming into the website as well.
Yeah. You guys must have were really early, though, because the Pocket PC Phone Edition came out Christmas 2000, something like that. Of course, we saw it early.
Yeah.
Our buddy Derek Brown had one, like, squirreled away in his pocket in the Microsoft bus and said, I've got to show you something. Remember that?
Yeah, we had the developer ones, like I think before it was released.
Yeah,
to play around with those. Yeah,
yeah, and I mean it was, and again it was like everything else. I think we've all talked about time and time again. But the folks we met locally, as well as then the folks between Microsoft and the MVPs. I mean, it was an amazing experience that I can't speak highly enough to what a wonderful time it was. It's funny, I just looked over my shoulder and my wife had framed for me many, many years ago the 2003 Buyer's Guide from Pocket PC Magazine, where I wrote a piece on, that was the one they said, write a short piece on what phone is best for the enterprise. I sent them in like 3,000 words.
Oh, wow.
And they said, short for dumb. And they turned around, they're like, yeah, we can't cut anything out. And I'm like, yeah, this is me writing just like I talk. So.
But so, how big was the users group, generally speaking? Was it? It seemed like it was large, but I could never tell. You know, like on the internet, nobody knows you're a dog, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, our average meeting size, even at our peak, was kind of small. We would have like a dozen, two dozen a meeting. We had a
That's
lot of
pretty
people.
Good, though.
Yeah, we would have a lot of people in and out. And then, like I said, we always had a core group of regulars. If we had special events, we could end up. Yep. Co-camps where we were involved. Also, like, we had times where anytime where we had, thanks to a sponsor, a giveaway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You get a better turnout if you knew there was going to be a giveaway.
Yeah. There's 100 people. You're like, who are all these people?
So we're all, now, Don, did you always drive from New Hampshire to Boston, or were you in the Boston area at that time?
When we started, we had not purchased a house here in southern New Hampshire yet. So I was living fairly close to the city, then a little bit further out.
Okay. Before we finally bought
But then still, I mean, for quite a few years, that was, and Steve's drive was, even though he was in Massachusetts, where we used to meet, he was on the southern side of town, and I was to the north, so we used to have conversations after our meetings, we'd both get on the phone and start talking to each other, and it was like, because we each had like a 45-minute to an hour drive sometimes getting home, even late at night. You know, from the meeting. So it was a little bit of a commute, but when you're used to Boston area traffic, you know, and commuting, it's, you don't think much of it. I mean, Jack's another one. Jack would come to our meetings. You know, Jack, you were coming from south side of town too. And where we held the meetings were in the Microsoft offices that were semi-north, you know, but they were north, mostly west of the city in Waltham.
For me it was about an hour drive, well worth it. There were always dynamic meetings. There were all these guys, they always made sure they had giveaways for people, because there were people who would come to want to have a giveaway, and these guys did it. And then we had presentations that were always first class. And that's where I got to meet Johan before we became, I think it was before he was an MVP.
Yes, come from Connecticut.
It was a really good time. I don't know if it would play out today, but it's one of those things that you can say, been there, done that, and enjoyed. We really enjoyed it. It was good. And then, of course, we'd always go out for a bite to eat or something, or a beer.
I wonder if there's still user groups. I mean, you know, I haven't sought any out. And sort of the internet's my user group. So
I think that's what you're discovering, is that the days of the physical user group with a very focused topic is just not. And even, you know, Boston, with Boston user group, Bug was, you know, That organization is a blanket for user groups who thrived, but I don't even know where that is anymore. You know, just because so many of those very focused user groups that met physically all the time.
Yeah.
Not as many. What I see around here now are a lot that are very corporate sponsored. It's, you know, I'll have to use air quotes, user group, but it's really almost like a chance to get everybody in for a regular marketing session
from
some of the companies. Mm-hmm. It's changed. Yeah, but like so many things, you know, the internet changed things.
Yeah, I remember like when they first started out, there was a CompuServe groups. That was like the first thing that got people together. And then they started being groups too. Because I mean, I started my first computer user group, I think I started when I was like 12, and it was for the Commodore group. And then it was amazing because people never met you in person before until they show up and you're like, surprised to see I was a child.
You're 12.
And I'm with adults and doctors and lawyers and just talking about computers,
I still remember, because of how much we did and, you know, the presence both physical and online, I remember starting work at a company back in 2010. And it was like one of the first days I was there, younger guy that I was working with came up to me and said, Austin Pocket PC. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, I loved you guys. And I'm like, you never came to a meeting, right? He's like, no, but I knew about all the meetings and what you guys did at all the meetings. And, you know, I was on the website all the time. And it was really strange for me to hear somebody, like, where I was going into work, you know, talking about that.
Yeah. But, I think I may have said that to you when I first met you guys, too, because, you know, I'm about as far as you can get and still be in the U.S. from the Boston Pocket PC Users Group, but I knew about you guys.
Well, we had vendors at CTIA that called us out at the top of their lungs when they saw us.
They're from the PAC area, with like the Philippines or Singapore. They're from.
We got a lot of, when I was doing analytics from the website, we were getting a lot of hits from Asia PAC. And we reviewed, that was the company that did Tengo. We did a product review for their, you know, that was back in the days before really you had all the keyboard, you know, methodologies. They were one of the first ones. And when we were at CTIA, that was Steve and I, all of a sudden they recognized us and we didn't know who the heck was yelling at us. Like, why are these guys yelling out? And then we realized we went over to their booth, and sure enough, they had a big banner, you know, with our logo on it, talking about taking quotes from our review. And and it was funny because they were really good. I will say, hardware we always struggled getting hardware for giveaways and like, but software companies were fantastic, so generous. We had so many abilities to do so many giveaways. You know, a lot of companies we really review hard and fast, and then they were like, okay, here's licenses, you know, have a raffle, whatever. So I will say that was nice for the user group. And part of it was the offshoot. The website helped feed the users.
And as weird as it sounds, you know, although the internet had been around for a while back in 01, 02, a really decent website that was very informative was kind of rare. You know, it was still a lot of junk on mostly junk on the internet in terms of websites.
And being able to provide any kind of decent content that could render on a mobile device was even more challenging.
Boy, yeah. I forgot about that. That was really,
style sheets, all that stuff.
That was a lot of, we went hard on that to make sure that we could render on, i.e. mobile.
And quickly, too, because data at the time wasn't really as prevalent as it was now. And we were talking about, like, we went from like 2G to 3G in that time period. And remember, we were sharing a phone connection by Bluetooth, you know, as a mode, because the internet wasn't even in hotels at that time.
Yeah. I think in 01, my data plan was 5 megabytes a month. That's megabytes a month.
Wow.
That was T-Mobile.
You know, I sat down and we browsed, you know, the days of browser sniffing, and between our main sections of the website and the forums, I made a point, since we had forums, to make sure that those rendered.
Yeah, that was a big deal, you know, your forums, I think. I mean, I never had the guts to post anything in it because I didn't want to sound stupid, but, you know, that having a forum, an interactive forum, was a big deal because it wasn't that easy back then.
Yeah.
I think Jason Dunn's Pocket PC Thoughts and all of that stuff was, you know, that was also the selling point.
Yep. That was the big thing, was, you know, to provide help, you know, I think was, to a great extent. I mean, you think about it, it was just an extension of the user group. You know, the whole reason why we did what we did with the user group was people had questions, people, you know, needed help, people wanted to learn new things, and that was the way to do it. So we were covering both bases, I think, at that time, the old school of a physical user group, as well as the website, the forums, and the new mode of communication. So
yeah, it's just a sharing of knowledge, I think, is like the biggest thing too. So a lot of people came in there just going in as a developer, not knowing the user side of things. They learned something from users and say, oh, let me incorporate this into my UI. And vice versa, users would come and say, oh, wow, this is what's involved in actually developing an app. I shouldn't be complaining so much, but I give them feedback, and then they'll actually respond to it. So it was a win-win situation for everyone that was involved.
When did the user group start to kind of fade out?
Oh, Windows Phone 7 definitely was.
Yeah. Well,
I think that was such an abrupt change. Don't get me wrong. I think things had sort of faded a little bit before that. Although Windows Mobile 6.1 was still very popular, especially in the enterprise.
6.5, yeah.
Yeah, 6.5 was there. But when 7 hit and there was that sudden change.
And incompatibility with all your applications.
Yeah, and it was a total reboot if you were doing development. And it was, I think it just changed everything. And at that point.
So, Don, what you're basically saying is I made my only visit to the Boston Pocket PC user group right when 7 was launched. So I basically killed it. That's what you're getting at?
John, I didn't want to say anything like that, but since you brought it up.
I mean, it's okay. Yeah, I'll take it.
John, the group destroyer.
Yep.
No, it was, yeah, I think that was a definite point,
yeah.
You know, which everything sort of changed. And it's just, when you think about it, there was so much change in such a short period of time at so many different levels that it just went. And the time, too. I mean, look at the time. What we were talking about, the rise of, you know, the internet as a resource, as a principal resource.
Yeah.
Both sort of changed things as well.
Yeah. Which, you know, Windows Phone 7 wanted to be, right? They wanted it to be primarily a network device, not so much apps, which is why they said, I think that our apps are incompatible now, which really ticked me off because I used a lot of them every day.
Well, and I think the focus, you know, I think it alienated when you look at device management side of things. Yeah. As somebody who was involved on the enterprise side heavily, we went from one of the most, if not the most, next to BlackBerry, I mean, the most manageable device from mm-hmm. a DM perspective, to suddenly saying, yeah, none of that's available to you.
Yeah.
You know, overnight. And that alienated a lot of people in the enterprise. And I love the UI. I love when you think about what, you know, for people who complained about things back then, you look at what that UI has resulted in today, the offshoots of it and the elements. I loved it, but it just, they made such a 180 turn, you know, towards their focus that it just, you know, it was like a truck going downhill and suddenly trying to, you know, shift gears rapidly.
Yeah.
18 wheeler, and it just, you could hear the gears stripping.
And you know, it's interesting you guys pick out that point, which, you know, makes a lot of sense, right? Makes a lot of sense. Because at that point, and, you know, like all five of us were Windows mobile MVPs or whatever the heck we were called at the time. They changed our titles so often. But once all my apps became incompatible, my former favorite device, I thought, well, if all my apps are incompatible, maybe I'll try the iPhone. You know, that seems to be catching on.
Well,
so that's
why
I switched.
We told Microsoft about the iPhone way back when.
Yeah.
They're doing a great thing. I mean, they might not be coming out with, like, huge changes that's going to disrupt the industry right away, but they make iterative small changes as they go along. We notice that, and they're catching up slowly. Microsoft kept doing these huge lists and shifts, and the industry couldn't keep up with it, especially if you're a small developer or even a large developer.
Yeah.
You couldn't make those changes in-house. You have to retrain people, redo everything, and redo all your apps all over, and you lose your user base. It's like it was just an awful way to do business.
Yeah.
I mean, they were trying to apply some of the principles they had done before with PC manufacturing, and it just didn't apply.
I remember at the summit just before Windows Phone 7 was released, I think we were all there, and I remember I made a suggestion that was mocked at endlessly by Microsoft. I said, what you said, Steve, you're going to leave all of these small developers who've been very loyal to you for many years behind. You need to set up a $100 million fund and just fund these developers to do the port. And they go, oh, no, they'll just do it. Go, well, okay, fine. You know,
yeah.
I'm telling you, 100 mil will get you a long way with these small developers.
I mean, I still think about if today's Microsoft, in terms of so many things, was around in 2010 from a mentality, I think things would have been a lot different.
Satya were in charge.
Yeah, I think things would have been very, very different.
Yeah, I agree.
I just think there were a lot of assumptions and presumptions and a lot of, you know, corporate arrogance about what the impact of the shift would be. Yeah. And it was just mistakes were made that never really were allowed to recover from. And I think 2022's Microsoft would have never done made the same mistakes to begin with, and would have been better equipped to from a corporate culture and organizational perspective, would have been much better equipped to handle things. I just think it was a new world with old thinking.
Yeah, the old Steve Ballmer world. Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, I think a lot of us admired Steve Ballmer quite a bit, at least in early days. And then as the decade wore on, it was like, you know, their stock is pretty darn flat. and, you know, what does that tell us, right? But it really did change when Satya Nadella became CEO, got to say.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we were just talking at the beginning of this podcast about some of the amazing things they're doing in the cloud with services.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that kind of vision would have been there. I think they're the old days of fiefdoms and infighting product divisions, and we saw it. You know, we got to see it firsthand.
Right.
Back in the day.
Why can't I do a round trip in Microsoft Word? Remember that?
Why is ActiveSync? ActiveSync is.
Active stink. I'm sorry. It might be that South Florida accent you have. It's active stink.
Who wants a week view in Outlook, right? I mean, simple things like that.
I mean, there were so many things that just, like I said, kudos to, you know, companies that persevere and adjust. Unfortunately, the adjustments happened a little bit too late for us to see it taking advantage of the platform so much.
Seriously. Hey, I, you know, we are way over the time limit. In fact, that's why I think Teams cut us off, because I'm looking at our chat group. It says call ended 1 hour, 12 seconds. So it's pretty much at 1 hour. It says you guys have talked way too much. I don't know how these guys from this, especially Jack and Todd with their two different accents, can even understand each other anyway.
And, you know, I don't understand why you say it is an accent.
To speech enhancement.
You know, I remember telling Jack when Skype started doing live translations, says, we got to try it, Jack, you know. We got to try Boston, Y-Pigeon, and see if it can deal with it, you know. But we haven't tested it yet. Any rate, gang, listen, it's been great. According to my recording, we've been recording for an hour and 15 minutes. It's way over time. I know John has stuff to do. And so I just want to thank you and let you go.
John has other user groups and to destroy.
Yeah,
and
to destroy.
What user group can I go visit?
You know, the one in New York sort of died off of a year after I left. So I've destroyed maybe two at this point. I'm not sure.
Ah, gee whiz.
I'm on to Boise next, you know. I'm picking up the last ones that are still around. Yeah.
I'm just going to refer to John as user group Thanos from now on. He's just
yes.
There you go.
And then half the user groups disappear.
There you go. But any rate, Jack Cook, Stephen Hughes, Don Sorcinelli, especially Stephen, thank you for coming back after so many years. This was great to hear from you and learn that you moved. You know, things. Obviously not in touch with Steve, but glad you were able to make that move successfully and enjoying yourself in across the country from where you were. That's quite a jump.
I do not suggest moving during a pandemic or trying to sell a house during a pandemic.
Oh, boy.
but it was a pleasure being on. I really enjoyed reaching out and touching.
Yeah, we'll do it less than every 6 years from now on. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay, folks. I will talk to you later, and I will process out that sound drop when Teams cut us off at 1 hour. Whatever. Okay, we'll talk to you later.
See you later. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye. Bye.